Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. This Manhattan DA and the Democrat Party in their efforts to get Trump have committed a calamity for the United States. We've lost the respect of the world. We've descended to the status of a banana republic. We have no more moral authority whatsoever. The world is abandoning us. Economically, we're falling apart. Politically, we're in chaos. Our corruption morally stands out above all. Tucker had a brilliant show last night. I'm going to play a clip for it, but first, if this guy Bragg thinks he's going to get away with this unscathed, he's got another thing coming. Here's a major report. Manhattan DA to face congressional probe will be held accountable for actions. This is on republicbrief.com. Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg has single-mindedly pursued age-old charges from 2016 concerning alleged events in 2006 against former President Donald Trump and has stepped into uncharted territory with the indictment of the former president this week. Bragg has to know that Republicans will not stand for this attempt to smear Trump, and that opening the door to these proceedings will likely backfire on the DA. The media is having a field day with the charges, which are 34 counts that seem repetitive and are unexplained legally in the indictment. Bragg is about to see his own battle start with top Republicans as Congress steps into the fray. Top Republican lawmaker Kevin McCarthy has doubled down on his warning that Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg will face a congressional investigation over his case against Donald Trump, the Daily Mail reports. The House Speaker lashed out at the prosecutor for bringing politicized charges against a former president over allegations he paid hush money to two women including ex-porn star Stormy Daniels. McCarthy, a 9-term congressman representing California's 22nd district, accused a 49-year-old of trying to derail the real estate mogul's bid to return to the White House. Alvin Bragg is attempting to interfere in our democratic process by invoking federal law to bring politicized charges against President Trump, he wrote. His weaponization of the federal justice process will be held accountable by Congress. A spokesman for McCarthy did not immediately reply to questions asking when such an investigation would be opened or what it hoped to achieve. Daily Mail noted, the 58-year-old McCarthy made his remarks after Trump pled not guilty to 34 felonies linked to the payments totaling $310,000. Trump himself posted today, Republicans in Congress should defund the DOJ and FBI until they come to their senses. The Democrats have totally weaponized law enforcement in our country and are viciously using this abuse of power to interfere with our already under siege elections. The Daily Mail reported Bragg's position on the charges. A court filing said hush money was given to porn star Stormy Daniels, Playboy model Karen McDougal, and a former Trump Tower doorman who claimed to have information that Trump had a child out of wedlock. But Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg argues the one-time reality TV star stumped up the cash to conceal information that could have stopped his 2016 White House run. Registered Democrat told reporters what this case is about. 34 false statements made up to cover other crimes. These are felony crimes in New York State, no matter who you are. We cannot and will not normalize serious criminal conduct. The court filing said Trump and others involved in the scheme violated election law and caused false entries in the business records of various entities in New York. The document adds that Trump and his allies also took steps that mischaracterized for tax purposes the true nature of the payments. But media analysts are weighing in on the matter. This is repulsive, Fox host Sean Hannity said Thursday. It's a disgusting political hit job, the likes of which we've never seen in this country. The Washington Post reported top-rated host Tucker Carlson, while not a fan of the former president personally, dissected the indictment on air, noting the 34 charges all seem to be the same charge. He further noted that the charge of allegedly false statements that supposedly would have affected the outcome of the 2000 election. In the charge, the manner in which the statements would have had that effect is not stated at all. This effort is one in a long line of unprecedented steps that permanent Washington has taken to stop Donald Trump from holding office in a democracy, Carlson said. It's an effort to take him out of the political race. That's not allowed. Carlson continued. It almost feels they're pushing the population to react, he said, referring vaguely to Democrats and adding, at what point do we conclude they're doing this in order to produce a reaction? I think they've got it wrong there, that they're trying to provoke Republican mega Trump supporters to react. I think that this report has got that wrong. Carlson's guest, and by the way, had several, former ESPN personality Jason Whitlock struck a similar tone. They're agitating for unrest. I'm ready for whatever's next. If that's what they want, let's get to it. This day will go down as a dark day for America, Fox News host Jesse Waters told his viewers This is a calculated move. Do you think Donald Trump would be indicted if he wasn't running? Dan Bongino, a Trump fan, said the indictment proves the United States is now a police state, but predicted it would end up handing Trump the 2024 Republican presidential nomination. This ushers in what will probably be a very dark era of political persecution and prosecution, the type we normally associated with the Soviet Union or Banana Republic, said Molly Hemingway, editor-in-chief of The Federalist, during a panel spot on Fox Evening broadcast. I return to a key point here. The registered Democrat said 34 false statements made to cover up other crimes. But there's no specification of what those other crimes are. And the fact is, these would all be misdemeanors were it not for the case that they were supposed to be asserted to cover up other more serious crimes. But they're not even specified in the indictment. I mean, this is such a sham. This is so bad. This is so embarrassing. Let's take a listen to what Tucker had to say last night. If you get a chance on the air, you want to listen to the opening segment and the closing. I have here the opening. Mitchell.
Was convened in a Manhattan court today. The former president is back in Florida at this hour and scheduled to speak in just a moment from Mar-a-Lago. This feels significant. We're going to take his remarks live as soon as they begin. But before we get there, it's worth understanding what it is we've just seen. Often the clearest perspectives on our country come from outside its borders. With distance comes clarity. So with that in mind, here is Salvadoran President Nayib Bukele on Twitter today. Quote, "Think what you want about former President Trump and the reasons he's being indicted," Bukele wrote. "But just imagine if this happened in any other country where a government arrested the main opposition candidate. The United States' ability to use, quote, democracy as foreign policy is gone." Thousands of miles from New York City in the heart of Central America, it is very obvious what just happened at that Manhattan courthouse. It's obvious to many Democrats, too. Trump was criminally charged because he is planning to challenge Joe Biden in the upcoming presidential election. It's really that simple. If Donald Trump had retired in 2020, would he have been arraigned today? Of course not. Top Democrats know that. Some effectively admit it. The liberal blog Politico this morning ran a piece describing what it called President Joe Biden's most senior advisors, predicting that Trump will be the Republican nominee and, because he has now been charged with crimes, he will lose the general election. Thanks to this criminal case, the Biden White House believes that swing voters, the critical voters in a presidential election, are, quote, now permanently out of Trump's reach. And just to make certain that swing voters never fall within Trump's reach, Donald Trump is scheduled to be back in court in New York with the accompanying media circus just weeks before the first Republican primary. This is the boldest election interference ever attempted in this country's history. And if you doubt that, if you think it's maybe on the level, then we suggest you look carefully at the indictment that was unveiled today. Donald Trump, as you probably heard, has been charged with 34 separate crimes. Those crimes turn out on close examination to be the same crime repeated 34 times. And that crime is, quote, falsifying business records in the first degree. So the Manhattan DA alleges that Donald Trump sent his own money to various people for various entirely legal reasons, but didn't account for it correctly in his office records. That's what he's accused of. And even if what Alvin Bragg has said Trump did, he actually did do, Trump could not be charged with that because the statute of limitations has expired. So the question is, how did Alvin Bragg drag Donald Trump into court today? Well, he did it by claiming that Trump falsified business records as a means of violating some other, much more serious law. That's what he's saying. Here's Alvin Bragg today.
Under New York state law, it is a felony to falsify business records with intent to defraud and an intent to conceal another crime. That is exactly what this case is about. 34 false statements made to cover up other crimes. These are felony crimes in New York State, no matter who you are. We cannot and will not normalize serious criminal conduct. The defendant repeatedly made false statements on New York business records. He also caused others to make false statements.
So here's what Bragg just said, in case you weren't paying attention to the lecture. Donald Trump has committed a crime not by changing business records, but by changing business records in order to conceal another more serious crime or to defraud somebody. So let's take it this in order. What is the more serious crime? Well, we have no idea because Bragg hasn't told us. No such more serious crime is listed in the indictment. And critically, and this really is the point, Donald Trump has not been charged with another more serious crime. So what we have as of tonight is an indictment that does not allege specific violations of the law. Well, that's, of course, unconstitutional, but it's also farcical. What about the fraud claim you just heard Bragg make on television? Well, Bragg claims that Trump sent money to Stormy Daniels in order to influence the outcome of the 2016 election, and in so doing, he tried to, quote, defraud voters. Well, that turns out to be an actual crime that's on the books. Bragg is claiming that Donald Trump committed a campaign finance violation, which is a federal crime, by the way. The problem is he did not commit a campaign finance violation. Nobody is claiming that he did, including the Federal Election Commission, which has investigated this question. So as a legal matter, the case brought today, the 34 felonies, make no sense at all. It's ridiculous. But as a political tactic, which is precisely what it is likely to be effective. And that's why the media so fervently supports it. Watch.
A kind of an alliance between different groups that have a history of being dispossessed and discriminated against, whether they are Jews or Black Americans or LGBT folks, that might come together to push back against the white Christian nationalist assault on American democracy.
Well, you don't know what part this man might play in the future of our democracy.
This campaign of disinformation that's continuously undermining our democracy.
One day people will look back and say, how we've handled this issue of Trump, how it affects our democracy, really could be a major event, could be a big turning point, one way or the other.
The federal prosecutors have said this is a crime that imperils our democracy.
So it imperils our democracy, and because we care so deeply about democracy, we're going to prevent the leading candidate in the other party from running for president, not let voters vote for him. Notice there was not one word about any crime here, meaning a violation of statute. So what is this really about? Well, you may have heard MSNBC guest Peter Beinart describe today's circus in Manhattan as part of a larger offensive by a coalition of the aggrieved, and we're quoting, to push back against the white Christian nationalist assault on American democracy. Now, in case you're waiting to hear the real motive here, wait no longer. There it is. Let that sink in. Does that sound like justice to you? Or does that sound like tribal justice? Well, that's, of course, exactly what it is. Now, we're waiting, as we told you at the top, for Donald Trump to speak about all this from Palm Beach, Florida. But in the meantime, there is a legal process underway, of course. We'd like to get the latest on it. Alina Haba is an attorney who represents Donald Trump.
Well, there was much more there, and it was really very, very good. Tucker, although I think he's a little wet behind the ears regarding conspiracies, so far as I can tell, for example, he still thinks Sandy Hook was real, that 20 kids and 6 adults died there. On other issues, he's simply outstanding. He's particularly good here. Now, background for those who may have missed a memo. It turns out that even Stormy Daniels acknowledges they did not have sex. In fact, I always thought it was highly improbable when a Hillary paid dossier came out way back when. And it's fascinating that Nancy Pelosi is now doing an interview with Hillary and trying to resurrect some kind of Russian interference in the 2016 election. Trump explained he was germophobic. He would have nothing to do with hiring prostitutes to urinate, to pee on a bed where Barack and Michelle Obama had slept. I mean, it was an absurd story on its face. Well, think about it. Porn stars have sex with lots of partners, right? That's part of their gig. Why would Trump come anywhere near Stormy Daniels, a porn actress, when he's a germaphobe? I don't think there's a chance. So he's denied it. She's acknowledged they did not have sex. Moreover, and this, in my opinion, is quite stunning, it was Michael Cohen, the attorney who paid her off, who paid the hush money so she wouldn't talk about a non-existent sexual relationship. Trump didn't pay. In fact, Cohen went bananas and complained that Trump had not reimbursed him. If Trump had not reimbursed him, then how can Trump have committed the offense of which is alleged? Part of Alan Bragg's claim is that there was a payoff involved here for hush money that was not reported in terms of its specific intent in business records. But as Alan Dershowitz explained, look, hush money is, a common practice in Washington, goes all the way back to Alexander Hamilton. If when you made hush money payments, you had to describe exactly why the hush money payment was made, it would be completely pointless, because there you happen to record publicly what it was that you did that you want to keep secret. So Dershowitz made good points about this. By the end of the show, Tucker had a couple other commentators who were simply excellent, even profound. One observed that the Democratic Party has turned into a gang of thugs, that they're operating like a mafia. Listen to how Tucker reported that they're doing this because they think it's going to affect the outcome of the election. David Hansen, who's an historian, really quite a wonderful guy, very savvy, made rather profound observations, suggesting there is no Democrat Party. That what there is a movement, a woke movement of fanatics, extremely aggressive, and that, well, it isn't a party, that movements have made differences historically. And I think when you look at how wokeism is overwhelming the United States in multiple different ways, I mean, some of which verge not just on the repulsive, but on the profane. I mean, teaching little kids about anal sex and masturbation, give me a break. Having drag shows for kindergartens through third graders, give me a break. Promoting life-altering surgeries to transform little boys into little girls or little girls into little boys, just stunning stuff. Teaching critical race theory, that Americans should hate themselves because we're a terrible, terrible nation. I mean, this has just swept the country. There are so many Democrats who are enthusiastic about this. And I just say, these people have lost their effing minds. They have gone stark raving mad. And get what you had, this. Another profound insight from the president of El Salvador. America can no longer use democracy as foreign policy. We can no longer claim we're the champions of freedom and democracy around the world. And this is where I say, not only are we falling apart economically, all the sanctions on Russia have backfired massively. They've harmed Western Europe, even the United States, overwhelmingly more than they have harmed Russia. The ruble is thriving. BRICS is flourishing. The Shanghai Economic Cooperative is moving forward aggressively. Saudi Arabia has just dropped the petrodollar. And what Americans have no appreciation, seem to be incapable of grasping. The dollar, the American dollar, is basically a worthless piece of paper. It's only been propped up by its role as a reserve currency for international oil transactions. Not only is that now been calamitously destroyed by Biden policies that were totally unnecessary, counterproductive if you want the U.S. to thrive and survive, but deliberately implemented because this administration is a puppet of George Soros, whose lifelong dream has been to destroy America. I mean, Donald Trump made us energy independent. Donald Trump secured our southern border. Donald Trump gave us a thriving economy. Donald Trump was non-interventionist. He was against U.S. getting involved, but only when it was appropriate and our national interest was at stake. Had Trump been president, as indeed the voters voted to make him president overwhelmingly in 2020, I guarantee you, I have done so much research on this, there's no room for doubt about it. There would not have been any Western involvement in Ukraine. There would not have been any attack on the fossil fuel industry, no move to electric cars, no open borders. The United States would be doing very well. But the Biden admin has deliberately, single-mindedly gone about destroying America. And by God, the success it's achieving is staggering. Staggering. I'll be right back with my special guest after this break.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, from time to time, I get into correspondence with listeners and fans and find some have a lot to say, such as the case with my guest today, William DeBerg. Before I bring him in to invite his opinions about what's going on now with his indictment and more, here's Jonathan Turley's analysis on Fox News. We now have the indictment. And it is basically what many of us anticipated. It is a series of stack counts of falsifying business records for the purpose of influencing the election. The indictment seemed to address the lack of legal precedent with a lack of specificity on the underlying secondary felony. Bragg has done nothing more than replicated the same flawed theory dozens of times. This is where math and legal meet. If you multiply any number by zero, it is still zero. One of the best legal commentators we have on television today. William DeBerg, welcome to The Raw Deal. I invite your comments on the Trump indictment and more.
Thank you, Jim. Glad to be with you. I don't know what to say about that and really so much else going on in the world. I guess I'm sort of like you. I'm stunned. The world seems to have cratered in just a few years. And this is unbelievable, but the raid on Mar-a-Lago was unbelievable. All these school shootings are unbelievable. The war in Ukraine is unbelievable. The southern border being wide open is unbelievable. I mean, there's virtually nothing that makes sense anymore. And it's almost getting to the point of being numbed by the the insanity of it all. And the question is this a is this an agenda driven? Is this something that's driven by an agenda, or is it plain old the destruction of America? Because if somebody wanted to destroy our country, I don't think they could do a better job than what's going on among the various governmental and business entities in the country today. And when you look around the world, people are – the countries are abandoning us right and left. It's almost as the akin to the fall of communism in 1989, how quickly it went. People thought, oh, you know, this thing's lasted 50-some years. It's not going to go away, 50, 70 years. I mean, it's not going to go away in a blink, but it did. And it's just stunning to see how people are abandoning the insanity called America right now. They're actually insulting us around the world. And just to give you an example, somebody told me about somebody who had visited Africa, and all you see are Chinese signs there. I mean, we've already lost Africa economically. We're losing Latin America. Eurasia's gone. We're not going to be able to have a functioning economy without the global trade that we've been used to, and the huge deficits and all that that are running up. I mean, we are witnessing really the destruction of America as we speak, and I don't know what's going to change it. I think there's one man who could have changed it, at least tried to turn the tide a little bit, and that's Donald Trump. Donald Trump, as you know, I mean, I think he won by 20 million votes in 2020. If you add up the different states and different frauds and all that, a million here in Pennsylvania, a million in Georgia, 700,000 in Virginia, 500,000 plus in Arizona, whatever, you know, before you know it, you get to that huge figure. And I don't think that the elites can count on that same level of fraud in 2024. And the reason being is Trump carried over 85% of the counties. There just aren't enough counties left with enough votes to overturn, say, not a 20 million victory, but a 30 million victory. And they're scared to death. Trump will inevitably win the Republican nomination, and that nobody would be able to defeat him, even with massive fraud. So they have to keep him from running. And that's what's going on. I mean, if this lawsuit doesn't do it in New York, they'll do some other lawsuits. But at every turn, they're being befuddled by, you know, Trump is an opponent who has been able to take a lot of punches. Chuck Schumer once said, "We are going. There's six ways to sundown," threatening Trump in his presidency. Well, I think they've already done 10 to 20. Ways to sundown against them, and everyone has turned against them. Trump's still standing, and it seems like every time they go against him, he ends up turning the tables on them, or fate turns the tables on them, and he ends up still standing and more powerful than before. So I don't know what's going to happen in this. You know, if you have enough Trump deranged jurors in New York City, Manhattan, anything's possible, but I think the legal case is basically non-existent. And I have a feeling there's a lot of things that could go wrong even before trial. But, you know, the key thing is this is part of an overall insanity that I don't know. I don't recognize America nowadays than the America that I once knew. And we're not talking about some Norman Rockwell America that never was, but just the attitudes, the values, the basic decency. I just don't think it's there anymore. I don't know what's going to happen in the future.
I think that was just excellent, William. I'm just delighted with that for an opening statement. It's sensational. What do you think about all the LGBTQ plus nonsense? You know, this is a perversion. You mentioned the school shootings. As you know, I do collaborative research on these events, and it's proven one after another, we're all phony, they were all fake. Whether you're talking about Sandy Hook or Parkland, or you're talking about Uvalde, or you're talking about Nashville, these are all phony. They're fake. They're run by crisis actors. Would you believe I'm in contact with two from Sandy Hook? one who is cast in the role of Emily Parker, this adorable little six-year-old girl. The other, her teacher, Vicky Soto, was supposed to have died heroic death. Well, they're both alive and well and speaking out. They want to regain control of their lives. One of the most interesting points Vicky made during a recent broadcast, she and Margaret did, out of a pirate radio station in the Keys, in the Florida Keys, was to apologize for her participation in Uvalde. And they've explained that Eric Holder came down to Newtown and offered the community $140 million to participate in this elaborate hoax. That was back in 2006. That they even did auditions for the role, that everyone involved signed non-disclosure agreements. In other words, there was a contract with the individuals involved. There were families in the community who didn't want to be a part of it, and they moved out of Newtown. What Vicky observed as well is that she was paid $210,000 to reprise her role at Uvalde as Eva Morales, a teacher who died there. William, look at the degree of originality they illustrate with Uvalde and Sandy Hook. You had the deranged shooter shoot his mother and then go to the school and kill 20 first graders and six adults. Well, in Uvalde, he shot his grandmother and then went to the school and killed 19 second, third, and fourth graders and two teachers. I mean, this is just ridiculous beyond belief. And they point out to me that in Nashville, some of the crisis actors were actually trained in Connecticut and that they've upped the ante. And now they're giving up $310,000. That's your money and my money, William, that's being paid for Barack Obama and Eric Holder, who continue to run these events behind the scene to perpetrate these frauds on the American people to take our guns. And why do you suppose they want to take our guns after all these many years of celebrating the Second Amendment? As one astute commentator has put it, it must be because they're planning to do something you would shoot them for. Yours.
Yeah. Well, Jim, I have to say that I have the luxury. I don't have to comment or research every single one of these shootings, which they're getting to the point of, farcical in many respects. I mean, I've studied the major ones. You know, I wrote a little bit about Sandy Hook. The whole thing about Sandy Hook was these schools were, I mean, these two towns, Monroe and Newtown, were so, had such excess capacity. Their schools were losing students passing the Dogos through SALT. And they needed to close these schools. And as you say, Eric Holder comes by and offers a huge amount of money to these towns. And they maybe didn't even know at first what they were doing. Maybe they thought it was just a nonentity, but then it gets out of control. I don't know what happened in Uvalde, why they went along with it, but Uvalde probably to me is the most bizarre. There's not one shred of evidence. In fact, the whole thing is such a joke, but what happens is you turn a fake event into a myth. And being down here in South Texas, you go to a baseball game, minor league baseball game, and there's Uvalde night. And every school has, Uvalde night, wearing their purple, school jerseys and all this sort of stuff. And, before you know it, the myth becomes the reality, and the reality that never existed is forgotten. But look, the thing that surprises me about these school shootings is I don't know what the end game is, because after every one of them, gun sales go up. Gun sales are off the charts in America today. And every school shooting seems to just create more gun sales. So if they're trying to take our guns away, in a way, it's a strange sort of reaction. But they keep going on, these endless fake shootings. And to quite frankly, to a lot of the people in America, they believe they actually occurred. And you can't, if there's one area that truthers are having a hard time cracking, is the idea that somebody would create fake dead parents and fake dead kids. Nobody could be that sociopathic, but that's why it's hard to convince people. I've been overseas, as you know, and overseas people believe these things you know, I try to tell them, look, you know, these school shootings, probably 95% of them are fake, you know, and but they can't believe that the media could be so sociopathic or the government could be. But fortunately, every school shooting, and I give you credit because there's not a school shooting where you're going to back down without investigating. And I think you've shown that virtually, well, the vast majority of these mass shootings are fake. And I give you enormous credit for it. But what's the end game? That's the question. And I think, you know, you're probably asking the same question. Is the goal to really destroy America? I mean, when you look at one of my articles for you, the fentanyl Holocaust, 100,000 fentanyl deaths. I mean, people think, oh, well, these people, they shouldn't have been trying the fentanyl. Most of them didn't even know they were taking fentanyl. It was laced in other drugs that seemed to be more harmless, or even in dollar bills, they'd lace them. So somebody's out to destroy America. And are they doing it for the Chinese? I don't know. I've always been skeptical of the Chinese explanation. But on the other hand, you find all these politicians that seem to be doing business with the Chinese in a corrupt way. And you just wonder, are they working for another entity, or are they just very malevolent people? I don't know.
Great stuff. Great stuff. I mean, just take one aspect of this complicated situation where I'm convinced the attempt is to destroy America, the open border. What could be a more obvious threat to America's national security than flooding the border with millions of illegals where we have no idea who they are? Many of them appear to be very physically fit. They're like between 18 and 35 years of age, military performance age. Are we introducing a massive military force into the United States that could operate behind the lines, as it were, conducting guerrilla warfare and the like at a moment's notice? The U.S. population is roughly 330 million. About 30 million are already illegals, I'm convinced. The agenda is to bring in 100 million illegals to permanently alter the demographics of the United States. We will no longer be recognizable. And while we know the COVID vax induces sterility, abortions, infertility across the board, the population rate of the birth rate in the United States is dropping precipitously, as it is in other Western nations that have been subjected to the vax. Those who are being allowed across the border and given a red carpet by the Biden admin aren't even required to take a COVID test. They're not given the vax. They want them to multiply like rabbits. This is a deliberate agenda. I can see no alternative explanation. It's a blatant violation of our national security. It would never have happened under Trump, which I believe is one of the most important reasons they had to get him out of the way.
Well, the people that are running the show, of course, aren't the people that you see on TV. They're behind the scenes. And we talked about the trilaterals, the Bilderbergers, whatever, the globalists. Now it's the World Economic Forum. These are World Economic Forum's just a front organization. The real power is behind the scenes. But David Rockefeller made no bones about it. He wanted a combined North America. He didn't want individual sovereignties for the United States and Mexico and all. He made no bones about it. He made no bones about the fact that he wanted the bankers to control the world and all that. And these are the people that are behind the scenes. So the open borders, you know, you might say, well, it's economically rational. There's a labor shortage and this helps. But it's not really, I don't think it's really about that. And, you know, it could be easily stopped. We could easily shut down that border. We have the technologies. We have the manpower. But, you know, it's obviously it's something that is deliberately kept open. And just to give you an example, when you said, I think you said 30 million illegal immigrants in this country. I don't know how many there are. I don't know if anybody knows, but we could have had a better estimate had John Roberts in the Supreme Court allowed the census to go through in 2020 that had the question about citizenship. And on the most ridiculous grounds, they said that that was unconstitutional, even though that question had been asked for 150 years until I think the 1950s. But why did they take? Why did they prevent the citizenship question be asked? Because that would have had a huge impact on apportionment of congressional seats and other things, and just give us a better idea of how many illegal immigrants we actually have in the country. But that's just one example of so many where it's a deliberate action where we don't want to prevent illegal immigration. We don't want to close the borders, but there's a cost. And I don't know if you know anybody that's died of fentanyl. I do. And it's going to be one of those things where everybody's going to know somebody that died of fentanyl, because no effort is being made to stop the flow of drugs into the United States. Very, very, very shocking and sad.
I think those are all great points, William. Great points. You don't have any doubt, do you, about the theft of the election in 2020? To me, it's so blatant. The evidence is so overwhelming. Dinesh D'Souza's 2,000 mules, one proof, all the drop boxes, but the massive use of the abundant voting machines, a motto of which is changing the way you vote, as in from Republican to Democrat. The very elevation of John Fetterman in Pennsylvania or Katie Hobbs in Arizona. What could be more conclusive proof that things are totally out of whack?
Well, here's the thing, Jim. Do I have any doubt? No. But all of this stuff, the attachment of these voting machines to the internet, illegal. The inclusion of database software on these machines, all illegal. Okay. And the events that went down in Fulton County, Georgia, with Ruby Freeman and all totally illegal. The mules, the affidavits from Wayne County. Wayne County hasn't really been properly certified for a couple elections now. And, you know, when you get even one affidavit, that should lead to a court case. There were dozens, if not more, affidavits from people of all stripes and even different political parties saying something's going wrong here. The election is not being conducted right. So there's a massive illegality. But there was a massive illegality in the case of COVID. The things that went on, the use of these phony informed consents. I mean, there really wasn't any informed consent really for an experimental drug. We don't even know exactly what was in it, but people were taking these. In a regular medical experiment, you have clear informed consent guidelines, clear medical ethics, and none of that. That was all thrown out the window, and there should have been prosecutions for that. That's a violation of a lot of international medical ethics and human rights declarations. Nothing ever happens. Nobody ever gets prosecuted. James Clapper lies before the Congress, and it's an admitted lie about the NSC not spying on America. Nothing ever happens. Nobody ever gets prosecuted. That's the thing that people have to realize. Our government is not our government, really. It's not working for the people. It's owned lock, stock, and barrel by the elites who are, you know, again, I don't know if their agenda is what their agenda is, but if their agenda was to destroy America, that to me is a very plausible explanation for all the things that are going on. None of this is doing any good to the United States.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And in many ways, it's as though the Biden admin were proceeding with the North American Union to evaporate any borders between U.S. and Mexico on the one hand and the U.S. and Canada on the other. Those has been little attention paid to Canada whatsoever, where Justin Trudeau seemed to have become a petty tyrant. I mean, it's just outrageous. I used to think Canada was a kinder and gentler version of the United States, but it's turned into something like a horrific petty dictatorship. I'm sure it hasn't escaped your notice.
Yeah, well, it all starts with free elections, and I'm not sure in the West, and it's not just the United States and Canada. I don't trust any of the elections being carried out in England and France. You notice the election irregularities in France, where all of a sudden Marine Le Pen went from a couple million up to a couple million down. Oh, it was a computer glitch, right? They published the results of the election ahead of time in Germany. I'm not sure any of these elections in the West are free anymore. So what's going to happen? Well, they're really itching for declaring martial law in this country. And our military, unfortunately, I know you're a veteran, but our military is no longer what it used to be. And I'm not sure it could even begin to take on the Russians right now, and certainly not the Russians and Chinese together. But the military is still capable of putting down rebellion in the United States, and that would crush, you know, the last of dissent and all. I think they're waiting for some uprising, and then they can really move in all the troops. One of the things about the January 6th, quote unquote, insurrection, which was really just an FBI, government sort of planned riot, is they went against certain groups such as the Oath Keepers. That's dangerous to the elites, because the Oath Keepers have a big presence in our military. And none of them were plotting, and there's no documentation they were plotting anything. They had no weapons on the scene. They weren't even in the Capitol, yet they get these huge, massive jail terms. Stuart Rhodes, who was a Army paratrooper, Yale Law School graduate, the head of the Oath Keepers. But they went after the Oath Keepers because they want the Army to be able to do the dirty job when the time comes. And they, don't worry, in Europe, they have these armies ready to crush dissent too. But the question is, will they be enough? And I don't know if the elites deliberately sabotage their own countries with this Ukraine war, but the Ukraine war has been the decisive moment. Everything the West wanted to do to Russia, destroy its economy, destroy its alliances, destroy its military, destroy its economy, everything's done the exact reverse. And it's the damage has been done in the opposite direction. The West is out of ammunition, its economies are reeling, its alliances are breaking up, and so on and so forth. Dissent is occurring in the West, whereas, you know, Russia is, incredibly unified, and Russia-China alliance, the Eurasian alliance, is just going gangbusters across the world. When you see this amazing rapprochement between Iran and Saudi Arabia, which the West has tried to break up for decades now, and now between Turkey and Syria, and the Russians and the Chinese are mediating all these conflicts. Peace is breaking out, and that's dangerous for the elites.
We'll be right back with William DeBerg. Stand by.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn,
You burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, my guest today, William DeBerg, has a lot of very thoughtful comments on the current state of affairs. William, we had that report. Tucker said it was a president of El Salvador. It may, in fact, have been the president of Ecuador. Either way, observing that after this, the United States can no longer use democracy as foreign policy. I think they got it absolutely right. I think all this phony indictment under these circumstances, where you even have Biden advisors gloating that while they're sure Trump is going to get the Republican nomination, they think he cannot win the general election because swing voters are not going to support him given he's been indicted. In other words, the whole thing was a malicious effort to influence our election, that we've lost our moral authority worldwide. I'm convinced that's 100% true. Your thoughts?
Well, yes, we've lost our moral authority, and countries are holding us to task. But more than that, Jim, if people don't love you, you got to at least have them respect you. They don't respect us anymore. Bin Salman just recently said, I don't give a rat's behind what, in so many words, what Joe Biden thinks. You know, he doesn't care what Biden thinks. Imagine the president of the king of Saudi, or the prince, I guess, of Saudi Arabia, saying something like that. I think it was El Salvadoran president that commented how, you know, we don't have any authority left, and he's he's mentioned before that he sees the self-destruction of America going on, you know, very rapid pace. But around the world, people are telling Blinken and some of our other people, don't come here. We don't want you. We don't fear you anymore. So we have all these troops that are doing nothing for us overseas because the countries that are surrounding them are turning against us. In Syria is a case example. We have troops in Al-Tanf and in the northern part, and they've already been the subject of rocket attacks. There's nothing we can do to stop that. Eventually, we're going to have to pull those troops in from a lot of other countries around the world. And but that's a sign of the decline of American prestige around the world, and the lack of a moral authority, the lack of you know, geopolitical and military prowess. I mean, if anything that's happened in Ukraine, it's shown how poor the weapons of the West are. You know, the Russians are coming up with an astonishing array of new drones and hypersonic missiles and advanced artillery and air defense systems that, quite frankly, we can't match their production capabilities. I don't think we can match their technology right now. And it's become apparent to the rest of the world that we're sort of like an emperor with no clothes anymore. And that's bad when people don't fear you anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. No, why would anyone fear the United States anymore? We're weak. You made a key point earlier on. You were mentioning about our military. As a former Marine Corps officer who was at one point responsible for supervising recruit training at the depot in San Diego, where I had 15 DIs and 300 recruits under my command, I can tell you the woke military is a turnoff. We have a very significant proportion of our military coming from Southern boys who want to fight for America because they believe in it, but they're not going to go into want to be in showers with guys who are gay. I mean, this is just so stupid. And then you have this, he seems to me to be a complete another moron, Lloyd Austin, as a Secretary of Defense promoting it, and then trying to vax the military. God! These vaccines are bringing about disability and death on an unprecedented scale. There's never been a medical product or procedure that's had such devastating effects. And by any reasonable standard, it would have been removed from the market long since, right off the bat. But it's clear that the CDC, the FDA, the NIH, the WHO are all in on it. This global depopulation agenda, William, it's having devastating effects, and frankly, I don't think the United States could sustain itself against an army of Boy Scouts at this point in time.
Well, two people that have gained a lot of fame these days because of the Ukraine commentary, Douglas MacGregor and Scott Ritter. Douglas MacGregor is one of the most brilliant army officers. He's retired, of course, I've ever known. Of course, he didn't make it to general because, you know, if you have these independent views, you only get so far in the military these days. But, you know, his discussions are, yes, we couldn't field enough troops to NATO couldn't field enough troops totally to go against the Russians and certainly any Russians alone, let alone their allies. And so only 29% of Americans, young Americans, can even qualify for the military because of weight restrictions and not having finished school and drug records and all that sort of stuff, mental disability and things like that. But of those 29% who do qualify, more and more don't even want anything to do with the military. And so the military is missing its recruiting goals massively. And so that just contributes to a general malaise, a general lack of morale. And people know things aren't right. Okay. Most people, unless they're fanatical Democrats. And, you know, to be honest with you, I'm still a registered Democrat. I think you came from the liberal area at one time. A lot of truthers do. But we have seen the light. I don't know. There's still a lot of people who just have been so mesmerized by the mainstream media, which is losing ground steadily, so that's going to have less of an effect. But nevertheless, they've been so mesmerized by the mainstream media and its anti-Trump and anti-this and anti-that that they cannot see what's really happening. But the majority of Americans do see what's happening, and they know it's not right. And I just don't know, you know, in the 85% of counties where, you know, the people voted to varying degrees in favor of Donald Trump, I just don't know if they can overcome these small number of counties, which produce a lot of votes and have extremely corrupt electoral systems. Look, most of the election officials in America are honest people. And if you ever saw the video, I forget the name of it, about Tina Peters in Colorado, here she was put in handcuffs for exposing something that, and she just is a normal, you know, just a regular housewife who wanted to get involved in politics. She didn't believe that her own county was subject to massive fraud until she did a sneak audit and found all this illegal software all over the computers that supposedly didn't have any of it. And for doing that and exposing it, she was put in handcuffs. And I don't know what her current state is, but in most counties in America, people are honest about, you know, the elections. But any of these machines that are being, I mean, why are Dominion machines still being used when it's been proven over and over again that they are holding illegal software and connected to the internet and all sorts of other things? Why are states still, even some red states, still using these machines? Nobody should use voting machines, okay, unless they're totally standalone, have printed paper trails, watermarked ballots, everything else. But that's not the way it is. So until we have that, we're not going to have free elections anymore. And not having free elections has consequences.
Yes. 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 And it seems to me we're willing to throw good money after bad. Here's a report, William, I find shocking. Top Republican visits Kiev. Says support for Army in Ukraine is overwhelming. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Turner, a Republican from Ohio, traveled to Ukraine Monday and claimed there remains overwhelming congressional support for providing Kiev with military aid. His remarks appear to contradict the White House's assessment Congress is not prepared to pass another massive aid package. Acknowledge there's a minority that desires a debate over further aid on Ukraine. However, he said, overwhelming their support for continuing aid to Ukraine so that they can continue the fight against this aggression by Russia. How stupid is that? And this guy's a Republican? I am shocked. And he's the head of the Intelligence Committee. William, this guy's a effing moron. How could he be this stupid and uninformed?
Well, there are those who believe that the inner circles in Washington, D.C. know, they all know Ukraine's going to be demolished, but they don't care. You know, they said, well, you know, in the meantime, we have, put the Russia under some pressure and things like that. They don't really care about the fate of Ukraine. Ukraine will probably be no longer as a viable nation after this conflict's over. But the elites in Washington really don't care, because all they're interested in, first of all, there's a lot of people making a lot of money off this Ukrainian conflict in terms of the military defense contractors and middlemen and things like that. But they said, well, if we lose Ukraine, at least we've forced Russia into weakening itself a little bit, except it really hasn't. That's the thing. It's all backfired. But I don't know where the off-ramp is, where the reverse gear is in all this. I don't think it's there, but I hate to see. It's really sad. I mean, I don't know if you've been watching some of the footage from Ukraine. I watch A Skeptic and some of the other things, and these videos are real. These soldiers are lying in the fields. You can see them blown to bits. It's not. These are husbands. These are fathers. These are sons. These are individuals who were maybe lawyers or teachers or mechanics or something. They're gone. You know, that's the thing. Ukraine will never get these men back. So many of the Ukrainians already left. I mean, there's really no viable solution to Ukraine after this. And I think the people in Washington know it, but there's too much money to be made, or maybe they just feel like, well, you know, Ukraine's a throwaway. What do we care? You know, they've done some damage ostensibly to Russia, so let's just keep it up. But the fact that you have so many Republicans going along with this, that just tells you everything you need to know. We don't really have an honest opposition in America. Yes, there are elements in the Republican Party that are an honest opposition, but some in the media, like Tucker Carlson, but the vast majority of people in the Senate and the House of Representatives are basically part of the same team. And, you know, you wonder why that is. I often wonder when the Democrats used to be more anti-war. I know you've written about the senator from Minnesota. Paul Wellstone. But I remember that after the 2001 September 11th, there were some voices against the Patriot Act, which ultimately passed, I think, 99-1. But Tom Daschle and Pat Lay at that time received these anthrax, as well as people in the media and all. And when it came to the Iraq War, Tom Daschle, the Democratic leader of the Senate, was supporting the authorization for the Iraq involvement. And I said, why? What happened? And I'm good. Maybe they got threatened. Maybe they had the fear of the Lord put into them. But you're dealing with people that I think a lot of them are probably either part of the whole cabal, or they're intimidated. I don't know what other source would be for why people are doing such a disastrous and diabolical actions in Ukraine.
Yes, I take great heart that no less an eminence than Jacob Rothschild himself has declared Vladimir Putin to be an enemy of the New World Order, and that the New World Order cannot proceed without Ukraine, because essentially the war is over in Ukraine. Bakhmut was a turning point. Russia has prevailed. NATO's acknowledged it can't even provide munitions at the rate Ukraine has been consuming them. It would take a year to two for the U.S. to get into a munitions production. Were we in a conventional war with Russia? It's military equipment. It's modern missiles. It's anti-ship missiles. It's anti-submarine torpedoes. It's anti-missile missiles. They're all far superior to anything the United States has, William. We could not stand a chance against Russia, nor whether in combination with NATO or not. Russia would prevail in short order. I'm saying the whole event would take less than a day to be settled, and not in our favor.
Yeah, well, Jim, one of the things people ask, well, why is Russia taking a year? Now it's into the second year. Well, what they don't want to do, they never wanted to destroy Ukraine. Unfortunately, a lot of these cities have gotten destroyed, Mariupol and now Bakhmut. They're in ruins because, you know, they're fighting an entrenched enemy that's occupying civilian buildings and all. But they're also apparently, you know, they've been building these defenses for ever since 2014. They have all these villages mined, and Russia, apparently a lot of the soldiers it's losing, and it's losing one soldier for every 10 Ukrainians, but the soldiers losing, a lot of them are to mine. So they're very careful. They have to go through, they take over something, they have to then set up the defenses to prevent any counteroffensive, then they have to demine everything. And that's why it's taking so long. But in the end, The verdict is not in doubt, and everybody knows that, and everybody really knows it in the West. But what's their goal? I mean, there's no way Ukraine's going to win. There's no way this is beneficial for the Western economies. The Western economies are losing. Think about the defense industries. If you're Saudi Arabia or you're some other country, why would you buy Western equipment when you can buy the same anti-aircraft missile battery that's probably more effective that requires one third of the manpower, such as the Russian system's latest S-400s versus the Patriots. Look at the market share that's been lost as Russia and China are now developing new markets and all. To give you an example, Siemens used to sell gas turbines for energy plants for Russia. When the sanctions came, Russia, in 1 year, reverse-engineered. Now they don't need any products from Siemens anymore. Where's Siemens going to sell its products, you see? That's the thing that something I don't know what's going on in the minds of these people, unless their goal is to destroy the United States working for these other countries, or maybe they just they've had a huge miscalculation because they've been since so incestuous and had no access to reality for so many decades. I don't know. If I knew what really was going on in the minds of Anthony Blinken, I don't think anything's going on in the mind of Biden, but Anthony Blinken, I wonder what the heck's going on in his mind. Does he know the truth and he's just going along or what? I don't know.
Here's another brand new report. Get this. Trump indictment devoid of facts. All crimes took place after he was sworn in as president. I have conducted an initial review of the 34-count criminal indictment of Trump. It's devoid of facts, but it does show a clear pattern. The pattern it shows is that all of the alleged crime took place after President Trump was sworn into office. He wasn't running those companies. He was running the country. So who actually did the things alleged? A statement of facts for the indictment had become available on the internet from the Hill. A quick perusal shows me first. The district attorney is claiming that Trump, buying information in 2015 and 2016 to suppress it, is illegal election interference, even though there is no state statute law about election interference, and there is definitely no law on buying information and the right to such information, then stashing it in your basement. That's called free enterprise. As far as I know, there's nothing illegal about it at all. Second, paying someone in connection with a non-disclosure agreement, NDA, is now and always has been legal. There is no crime here. Third, all of the alleged bookkeeping crimes are beyond the 5-year statute of limitation for felonies, even though at best, these were misdemeanors with a shorter statute of limitations. Of course, I'm not an attorney, and therefore I can't make a competent legal opinion, but what I think may be different from how the legal system looks at it. But while I'm not an attorney, I'm also not a Swiss watchmaker. That doesn't mean I cannot read and interpret a clock. It seems to me as a layman, there is no prosecutable crime here. I think President Trump should notify the court he's invoking his right to a speedy trial, and that he does not consent to a pause in the timing for that speedy trial during the pendency of motion. This way, the whole thing has to be done over and within about 6 months. Otherwise, these left-wing communistic bastards in New York will delay this thing literally for years. Trump cannot allow that. He should invoke a speedy trial immediately.
Who wrote that that you're reading?
Who did write it? Let me see. It's from, Hal Turner.
Okay, yeah. Well, Jim, look, as you say, as he wrote, it's not illegal to pay money to have somebody not talk about an event. That's not illegal. However, if you use campaign funds, that is illegal. But that's that has not, of course, been proven, and it may not, in fact, be the case. But it's not something that a district attorney in a city can really entertain, because that's as you say, federal election law, and that needs to be something handled by federal prosecutors. So I just think that there's all these different potential legal situations, and they're just throwing everything out and hoping something will stick, because the one thing they don't want is for Trump to be elected president again. He has vowed that, unlike the first time where he came in as a bit of a novice and maybe had good intentions, but he didn't have the right people around him. Now he knows who to hire. And he has, I believe it's the Schedule F that he's the executive order. He's just going to fire anybody that's not protected by civil servant, which is most of the deep state, the leaders of it, and like probably top FBI officials. He's just going to fire them and hire new people, and that would be a disaster for the ruling cabal. And so they can't afford to have Trump come in, because this next time he wouldn't be pussyfooting around. He wouldn't be playing around with them. He would be very serious And so that whatever they have to do, they have to prevent him from becoming president. And there's been a lot of different attempts. People don't realize there's been a number of assassination attempts on Trump. People don't realize that. But there's been all these other 25th amendments and Russiagate and all these different attempts, the two impeachments and all, to get rid of him. Each one has failed. They cannot lay a, maybe they've laid a couple gloves on him, but they cannot knock him out. And it's getting into the later rounds there. They're desperate to knock Trump out. And if this doesn't work, they're going to have other legal things. I don't know if they can do anything about the classified documents, because Obama and Clinton went through it. Amy Berman's ruled that presidents have wide latitude in terms of their presidential papers. And Biden violated this sort of protocol massively compared to Trump, and Trump never tried to abscond with anything. Everything was under lock and key, working with the National Archives. So I don't think they can get him on that. Fulton County, they're trying to get him on the statement that provide me with the votes, but that's just a saying. Obviously, he thought that he had lost, had won Georgia by, you know, a million votes. So, you know, basically he was telling Raffensperger, I know what you're up to, and make sure I get properly credited. So I don't think they can get him on that. I don't know what they're going to get him on. This rape case in New York, geez, a 30-year-old rape case. I don't know what they have on him, but it just seems like a lot of it's just trying to smear him, but it's not working. You know, he's more popular than ever among Republicans, and he will win in a landslide. There's nobody that's going to touch him in the Republican primaries. So who's going to beat him? Well, they'll have to go to the general elections. And that's, again, if he won by 20 million votes in 2020, he's going to win by 30 million or more in 2024. And at some point, you just don't have enough votes total, in even with inflated voter rolls in the counties that Trump lost in, Wayne County, Philadelphia counties, you know, Fulton County, Maricopa. There's only so many votes you can squeeze out of those. And that's why they're really worried, because I think that it's going to be tough unless Trump is prevented from running legally. But I don't know. Let's see.
Listen to this. Here's Robert Barnes. He's quite a brilliant guy, commenting on the Hal Turner report. The indictment is legally insufficient on its face. New York state law does not make it a crime to influence an election. Federal law does not make it a crime either. Maybe that's why no law is actually cited in the indictment, nor are the facts sufficient. Prima facie, this indictment is a joke. It demonstrates a degradation of the United States of America under the Biden-Harris regime and uniparty swamp rule. Most important, both Alvin Bragg and this indictment are national embarrassments, as I noted on Twitter. Right back, and we'll take your calls.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, as advertised, they're opening the lines to your calls, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. We have a caller on the line from area code 408. Paul, go ahead. Join the conversation.
Well, I wanted to show up for a roll call. I mean, you know what I'm going to say, so I don't really have to say it anymore. I'm present and accounted for. How's that?
Well, I'd welcome you having something new to say about what's going on here. I mean, it's not as though there's a dearth of subjects to discuss.
Well, you know, it's the same old, right? your guest, who I've read his comments before on your blog site, and I mean, he has a lot of, you know, He recognizes a lot of key things, and he has a lot of good things to say, but there's a few things, you know, where, you know, I think he just sort of said as a manner of speaking about, you know, he's not sure exactly what the agenda is, or, you know, if the agenda really is to destroy America and so forth. And I think he does know the answer. I can assure you that this agenda is exactly that. And we all know it's not a Democrat agenda or a globalist agenda or an elite agenda. Well, it's a Jewish agenda.
Paul, as you said, we know your stance, which you've reiterated hundreds of times on this show. Now, let me ask you, what's your take on the indictment and all that? I mean, isn't this about as ridiculous as it gets? And it's harming the United States tremendously internationally and in every other way.
Well, I was on about a nearly 2-hour podcast yesterday with Mike Sledge and another guy, Clint Eastwoodendorf, that's his name, on the American National Radio Network. And it's essentially a farce, right? In other words, it's not real. In other words, if it's not really legally a real case, okay, then it's theater. So if there's any sort of plea bargain and or conviction, you can be sure that's theater. OK, if the case goes away, then that was part of the theater. Sort of like whatever it is that you're seeing on TV, right, it's part of a play. So, you know, the script that is being written, you know, they have control over. So we're just in the audience reacting to it. But all the legal commentators that have weighed in on this, and I've seen a few and heard a few on Fox and other places, they're essentially correct. Okay. So therefore, if it doesn't make any sense from a legal standpoint, then we can just take that and expand it out. It doesn't make any sense. We can just take that phrase, it doesn't make any sense, and apply it to the whole thing. So then, therefore, what are we looking at? And I think it's multiple purposes or agendas, including to actually make a lot of people angry, right? To essentially create the further division. And if they are thinking that they're going to, make somehow Trump an invalid candidate, well, that's probably not going to occur. But who knows? I mean, you know, would you be shocked if some farcical outcome occurs? Like there's some kind of a plea bargain, and as part of this plea bargain, Trump agrees not to run? Well, what would that do? And then think about this. What if then they push it out so now he's going to come back in 2028? See, so they're just dragging this thing out so they can, as much as possible, complete their nefarious schemes, because I think that the large faction of these people, they're running out of time. I think that more and more people are awake and aware. Most people that know anything know it's the Jews. I mean, they're not naming any other groups, and you can see it. It's all over. I mean, it's not just on Revolution Radio or RBN or Speak Free. It's all over. I mean, it's on TikTok. It's on Twitter. I see it on YouTube. Okay, because YouTube can't take all the comments down immediately. So I see on YouTube videos where people will start, addressing the Jewish question or the Jewish problem right on YouTube. And then, of course, later on, I would imagine those comments are taken down. I don't go back to check. But I know starting in about 2016 or 17, they used to take my comments down, and they also would take other people's comments down. But still, you see people posting. So a greater percentage of the so-called normies are waking up, and, you know, and they're making it worse by trying to pass these laws in Florida and Georgia and other places. They're trying to put Band-Aids on a dike, which has got too many holes in it. And so am I hopeful? I'm wary, but I'm hopeful that this thing will fall apart, excuse me, and won't last. Is Trump an answer? I do not trust the man. I've made that clear. I don't know how many videos of him saying things somebody would have to see to be wary of this man. But the fact that he's overwhelmingly popular, I think it's going to be taken advantage of by those who are able to take advantage of and manipulate him. And again, we've discussed this on your show before. I don't know how much of him is authentic and how much is not. But again, I am very dubious because of his history. You know, the people that have bailed him out, the people that he's been in business with, the people that he put in his last administration, and so forth. So,
well, who in your imagination could possibly do more good for the United States than Donald Trump?
Well, again, this is a question assuming that he could or he would, and I'm not sure that assumption is correct.
The point I'm saying is, what's your alternative?
Well, you know what the alternative is, and it has to occur. Trump will not wreck the system. Okay, the system needs to be wrecked. Okay, you know that we have this horrendous financial system, a horrendous medical system, a horrendous media. Okay, the educational system. This, in my opinion, and I'm not alone in saying this, I don't think it's fixable. And I don't know the legal system, of course. You know, if I failed to mention that.
In other words, you're advocating revolution rather than reform. I don't think that's really going to be the answer. And what the hell would we replace it with? I don't think there's a better arrangement than the Constitution provides, if only we were to adhere to it rigorously. William, your comments, any comments you have in response to Paul, and then I'll return.
Well, first of all, Jim and Paul, when I say I don't know what the agenda is, I mean, I think that on certain areas you can come up with an agenda. I mean, look, obviously these mass shootings are to turn against people against guns. I'm not sure it's been successful, though. The open borders to get cheap labor and other things in to weaken the middle class in America, things like that. As far as COVID, I think one of the purposes of the vaccines was to kill people, call the population. But the problem was for the elites is that they never got distributed in the places where the population of the world is increasing dramatically. And so the overall world's population is not going to diminish because of it. But they've had this agenda for a long time, diminishing the population. Here's where I disagree with Paul. I find that there is a thread of anti-Semitism in the truther community. I mean, look, generally the truthers are the good guys. I'm not going to, you know, I'll state that unequivocally. However, when it comes to blaming a certain minority for everything, and I just think, first of all, you've got to look through the historical origins of the cabal and the globalists and the Bilderbergers and all that. There was the faction known as the Rothschilds, who, whether you call them Jews or not, I mean, I think a lot of Jews would say they're really not very Jewish, but they aligned with the robber barons, J.P. Morgan, the Rockefellers, who were not Jewish, and for the longest time, they dominated America, and then, of course, as America after the war dominated the rest of the world, they controlled a lot of the rest of the world. But look, a lot of these people behind COVID, Bill Gates, Peter Daszak, Anthony Fauci, Deborah Birx, you know, the list goes on. They're not Jewish, okay?
Tedro, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Do you not know anything? You said the Rockefellers were Jewish? Where have you been?
Paul, hang on a minute.
This man clearly does not know what he's talking about. Bill Gates is clearly Jewish. Clearly.
Well, how far does a certain percentage of DNA float in? If you can even say there's a certain DNA percentage, I mean, I don't know how
many ways there is to make this case. The bottom line is this: is groups exist. People are members of groups. We have to learn to identify this. It's, you know, again, this is a version of the not all argument, and it's so tired.
Okay, Paul,
so old.
We've got another caller here. We got to stand by. We got Bruce in South Carolina joining us. Bruce, join the conversation.
Yeah, William, I'd like to inform you of some things you may not be aware of, and that we've had a Jewish-born president ever since Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Are you aware of that?
A Jewish president? So Dwight Eisenhower was Jewish, John Kennedy were Jewish?
You're not listening to me.
Yes.
A Jewish-born president. Jewish-born, that's how they hide everything. If you're born from mother Jew, that's how you get into the politics, okay? That's 100% accurate information. All the Bushes are Jewish, the Clintons are Jewish, Obama's Jewish, the Kennedys are Jewish. Did you know that?
Even Obama is Jewish?
Yeah, his mother was Jewish.
Kennedy, tell us more. Go ahead.
I made a 100% accurate statement. If you're born from
Dwight Eisenhower's parents were Jewish. Jimmy Carter's parents were Jewish.
Say again?
You're saying Dwight Eisenhower, Jimmy Carter, these individuals were all Jewish.
Jimmy Carter's Jewish. His wife is also Jewish, and her brother is also a rabbi. Anything else you want to know?
You're not saying it was Jewish.
You said Obama. Obama's mother is Stanley Ann Dunham. She's from the armor meatpacking Jewish dynasty in Kansas City. Anything else you want to know? How about the Kennedys? John Kennedy's mother, Rose, was Jewish. John Kennedy was married to Jackie, who was a French Jew. Anything else you want to know?
Don't be obnoxious in the way you say it, Bruce. I mean, you're delivering facts that are not common.
They need to bring themselves up to speed, okay? I've known this stuff for 20 years.
Listen, don't get carried away on your high horse. I don't know these facts, and I'm not paying attention. So don't act so damned arrogant about it. You're getting into the Paul category. You're pissing me off by your attitude. Now, I like what you're telling us. I don't like the way you're saying it. That's all. Just calm yourself down and give us a simpler, direct, factual report and stop being so arrogant. By the way, Rasmussen polls show Trump has gained 10 points on Biden since the indictment. 10 points. Now, go ahead, Bruce. Go ahead. Reiterate. Oh, I think he's been dropped. Paul, go ahead. You'll probably, you of course, be upset.
Well,
but it's just damn manner thing that bends me out of shape. Go ahead.
I know. I understand that, okay? I actually do. But here's the thing. Okay, there's no time to play around with this petty nonsense and not recognize what the issue is. I could send you, and here's the thing. I know you've looked at a few things I've sent you, Jim, but generally you don't read or you don't watch the stuff I send you. I could provide you all the material that you need to have a much clearer understanding. I recently have shared a film that I saw made in 1940. Called Jude Seuss. It was made by the Germans. Okay, it was a Hollywood type production. In other words, Germany had a movie industry as well. Okay, and when you watch this 1940 movie called Jude Seuss, which is it's the Jew Seuss, right? It's set in 1733, back in the Kingdom of Württemberg, based upon true events. Okay, the costumes are amazing. The acting is amazing. The sets are amazing. This black and white film would stand the test of any of the classic Hollywood movies from the 30s and the 40s, okay? And it's amazing what you see in this film. It's point for point for point, like you could take a template and put it over today, what's happening in the world today, what's happening in our country today. I didn't send it to you because I just figured you wouldn't watch it. There's another one called Hans Westmere from 1933, and it was set in 1929 Germany. And it's about the street activism between, essentially the SA, okay, and the so-called National Socialists and the Communists or the Bolsheviks. And when you watch that thing, it's just like a template for today, what's going on with the BLM and with Antifa and, you know, pitting the right versus the left and the liberal versus the conservative. And it's just you see it and you go, oh, my God, it's the same story over and over. And you can go back. Again, this German film made in 1940 is set in 1733, but you could go back 1,000 years. You could read what people have written, like Cicero back in the Roman times, what he wrote. It applies. Innate characteristics of people carry forward because it's in the DNA. The behavior of people is hardwired. I'm sorry. It's just the way it is.
Paul,
I didn't make it up.
Jim, look. I don't agree with you, and we don't have enough time to go through the genealogy of each individual here that you're mentioning. But if you, what's your solution? Are you to imprison all Jews, or what is your solution?
I mean,
then you're talking about guys
them.
That have exposed some truth or things. Who are Jewish? You want to get rid of the truthers who are Jewish?
I just. Stop asking. I told you already. It's to remove them from our society. It's been done before. It has to be done. They are destroying us. They're a destructive species. They're a subspecies of humanity, and nobody has ever liked them throughout history. That's a fact. People hate them. Why? Why is that?
What do we got?
Go ahead.
Bruce back. Yeah, go ahead, Bruce.
Let me speak, please. And William, I don't want to attack you, but what we've got information that's ancient. It's got web cobwebs on it. I've known about this information almost 20 years. They were hired. These people were hired as a group to destroy this country. They want the Constitution to go away. They want to take the guns. They want depopulation, downsizing. This information comes from the Rothschilds dinner table many years ago. This is when I learned it. I didn't pay any attention to it. But this Ukraine situation also is nothing more than a way to steal the what's left of America into a check that goes to the Zelensky and his culprits out there. And what it is, it's a colonization for Israel. Those are all facts.
I've reported many times on the idea of Ukraine becoming the new Israel, Bruce. That's not an issue.
Right.
And
so then
and
why
if you're What I was seeking to say to you, Bruce, is if your facts are correct, that comes as news to me and to William and to most Americans. I'm open to your facts being true. I just didn't like the way you were delivering them. That's all. It's a problem I have with all. And if you accommodate.
Let me give you a couple of. And I'll give you a solution. I'll give you a solution for this, too. But here's something I'll point out very carefully. If you write these down in your notes, who is Jeb Bush married to?
Well, I think he's married to somebody from Mexico, a Mexican-American woman. I forget her name.
Her name is Columba, okay? And who is she? She is the former president Vicente Fox's daughter, one of two daughters he has. The top 10 or 12 families in Mexico are all Jewish, just like the Castros in Cuba are Jewish, okay? Now, when you start figuring out these little things that are coming your way, you'll find out that that's 100% accurate information. And I said something about Obama's mother. It's 100% accurate information. And all the way back to Franklin Delano Roosevelt, if you're not born from a mother Jew, you're not going to get in there as president. And the only exception we ever had, William, was a guy by the name of Reagan. But his wife, Nancy, was 150% Hollywood Jew. She was his handler. So that's the only exception.
And by the way, just to interject real quick, and Jim, I'm sure you'll appreciate this. I've been having many recent conversations with Sophia Smallstorm, and she's done a lot of research on many topics, as you know. And she used to live in New York, and she knew people that worked for Jackie Onassis. And Sophia's quite informed on this topic as well. And she informed me that the man that she began to see and have an affair with before they set her up with Onassis was also Jewish. And of course, Onassis was a Jewish Greek shipping magnate. And of course, Jacqueline Bouvier, was from a French Jewish family. So see, it's just once you start to see the pattern, it's like I've always said, you know, it's not the South Koreans, you know, it's not the Nigerians, and it damn sure ain't the Germans. Okay.
So, let me just ask you this.
Let William have the floor. Go ahead, William.
Talking about Jews. I mean, Oliver Stone, I know, Jim, you don't agree with everything in that movie, but it at least presented more of the truth or perspective than anybody else. He's Jewish. Seymour Hersh is Jewish. Look at what he's exposed. RFK, the Kennedys are all Jewish. Is RFK Jr., who's been exposing the COVID vaccines and recently the Ukraine and all, is he Jewish? I mean, you're going to get rid of a lot of people who are actually on the truther side.
This is a Jewish conspiracy to take over America. It's the last freedom in the world is America. People look up to it. But wait a minute, you're muddying the waters here. Everything I told you is 100% accurate. And here's the solution for it. And Paul was right. The Byzantine Empire lasted 1,500 years. And the only reason it did that was because they would not allow the Jews to take part in the civilization. They could not be socialized. The only part they could take part in was be merchants, and that's it. They couldn't be in politics, gatekeeper positions of power and authority. They were not allowed in there, and that's why it lasted so long. So that's what has to happen here. All the gatekeeper positions that we have in this country have been taken over by Jews or Jewish supporters. They've got to be removed. We want pure Americans. If you've got to be, your parents have got to be born as Americans, and your grandparents have to be born Americans. There's no exceptions to that. America, culture, and society must be returned to the freedoms that it once stood for. And these Jews are destroyers. Every one of them will destroy it. And we've got to be removed. They're not welcome except as merchants, and that's it. That's how you do it. Otherwise, what you do is you herd them into a corral, let them breed themselves off this planet. And those who don't agree with it, you put them on you pack them into cattle cars, you take them to the nearest kosher slaughterhouse, and you tell them you're getting ready to be turned into soylent green fertilizer. And that's the end of it right there.
Wow. Look, it sounds – well, you know what? Here's the thing, okay? What choice have we been giving? They are clearly making war upon us, and we're not even talking about, but I'd love to bring up, the chemtrail, chemical, biological warfare, weather warfare agenda against us, right? The nanotech war against us. Smart dust is a real thing. Look up smart dust and check into this. Look into pseudobiology, or what they call synthetic biology. This is real stuff, and they're behind it all. You know, look, the National Socialists in Germany had it exactly correct. They're smart people, okay? And they figured it out, and they tried to let us know. And before them, other people had figured it out.
and tried to let everybody else know. Throughout the centuries, there's people from their graves. They would love to come back to life and tell us this is the problem. We all know it's the problem. Jim, you need to have a guest on that Giuseppe knows quite well, Io Camafi. Io Camafi is a black man, a black nationalist, actually, and he's written a book called The Jews Are the Problem. Have him on your show.
Let me say,
go ahead.
I appreciate, Bruce and Paul, your point of view. Because William is my guest, I want to give him an opportunity to make some observations here as we conclude our conversation today. But I appreciate your coming on, and you certainly have raised important questions about facts of the matter regarding presidents and their lineage that I'm sure William and I are both rather stunned by. And you've made valuable points. But William, I want you to have the opportunity for some concluding thoughts.
Well, Jim, I must say I probably agree with Paul and Bruce on a lot of the things that are the problems in America today. I think your solution is that we need to go back to the Constitution. We need to have fair and free elections. We need to have honest judicial systems, and we need to have a media that's a true media. And, I think we have to go over the culprits. And I don't care if they're Jewish or not, just as the same. I mean, if somebody's on our side, on the truth or side, I think we should honor them. I don't think we should disparage them because of their ancestry. As you know, I'm sure when you were in the military, you knew Jewish military officers. I've known them, and they're honorable people. I don't think we should, and a lot of them also have some of the same views. We need to take everybody who is of our persuasion and spread the word. And I don't think singling out an ethnic group is helpful to our cause. That's all I would have to say. That's my conclusion.
Well, I think you and I are pretty much on the same track. God knows I've had some very close, dear friends. My closest friend in college was Jewish. A dear friend of mine when I was assistant professor at Kentucky was Jewish. The fellow who hired me at the Department of Philosophy at Duluth was Jewish. I tend to circumvent stereotypical thinking. Now, they're talking about an historical pattern here, and it is true that there's quite a lot of history to substantiate their claims they're making. The question becomes, what do you do in a pluralistic democratic society governed by a constitution? I think you and I really, I think, have it right to go back to the Constitution and enforce it, but we're in a state, a degree of corruption unprecedented in American history, and whether we're going to survive is an open question. Thanks for being here, William. You are a great guest, and thanks to Paul and Bruce for calling in.
My pleasure, Jim.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...